Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. If this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you to question your career reality. Now, this show is for you if you are considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guest on the show will provide you with advice on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in the entertainment industry. Some of our guests on the show include Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony winners, reality TV stars, producers, directors, actors, singers, comedians, casting directors, talent managers, screenwriters, novelists, and the list goes on and on and on and on and on. Basically, if they're working professionally in show business, we are going to have them on this show to give you entertainment career advice. And we make sure that our guests are at different stages of their careers, from professional to beginner. So that means that we'll definitely have someone on the show who will be able to help you with all of your show business career questions. Now, you can either listen or download any of our past shows by going directly to our archive page on the latalkradio.com website. And again, that's latalkradio.com. And you just go to channel one, there's a drop down box, and you just click, look for our show Question Reality, and this takes you directly to our archive page. And our shows are available to listen to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for free. So you can listen to yourself or listen to any show 3-4 o'clock in the morning. You get up, you're like, oh, I have to listen to Priscilla Leona. I have to hear that voice. Yeah, like anyone's ever made that request, right? But just in case there's an audience for my voice out there, you can hear me anytime. We're also available for free on iTunes under the podcast section and on Stitcher.com. So just go to those websites and type in Question Reality Radio and we will be there. If you want to find out about our future guests, as you know, we are always booked 6 months to a year in advance. So if you want to find out who's going to be on the show, you have to go to a separate website. That's an official website. The official Question Reality website, and that is questionrealityradioshow.com. questionrealityradioshow.com. And you can also go there if you'd like to submit. We are currently booking for 2017. I didn't think I'd live that long to be saying 2017. But we will be booking actually next month. So if you want to be considered for the show, you work professionally in the entertainment industry, and you want to come on and tell us about your laurels and accolades and your trials and tribulations, why do I sound like I'm doing an Olympic ad? Well, if you want to come on the show, go to questionrealityradioshow.com and click submit and tell us about yourself, and we will consider bringing you on. I also encourage you to download our new exciting app for free, of course, for Android and iPhone, and you can listen to all of our other exciting shows when you download the app. Tons of great, great shows, very informative. And that is on the homepage. So if you're listening to us right now, I think scroll down, maybe on the right-hand side. I can't remember where it is, but we are there towards the bottom of the page on the right-hand side. So there you go. Free app, free app. Oh, my goodness. Now, we have an exciting, beautiful, talk about beautiful. This lady today is beautiful. Her name is Dina Eddy, and she is a theatrical actress, singer, who recently began a transition into film and television. television. So her website, if you want to go there now and check it out, if you can multitask, listen to me and look at her website, which I can't do. I cannot be on the phone and look at anything other than one thing at a time. But I tell you, the millennials, they're like crazy. They can talk on the phone to you and they got like two thumbs and four fingers, some toes, and they're texting and then they're like sending emails and texts. It's crazy. I don't know how they do it. I have no idea. Anyway, here is her website. It is Deena, D-E-E-N-A, Eddie, E-D-D-Y.com. She's also on Twitter at Deena Eddie Sings, and she is on Facebook as Actress Deena Eddie. So there you go. You can be checking her out. A little bit about her, in case you didn't get all the social media updates. She has been an actress singer for quite a while. Some of her roles were in hit plays such as Phantom of the Opera, Jekyll and Hyde, Wuthering Heights, Madama Butterfly, The King and I, The Fantastics, Oklahoma, Candide, Hotel Paradiso, and so many more. So, my goodness, we're so excited to talk to her. So, without further ado, let's welcome her to the show. Hi, Deena Eddie.
Hi there.
My God, you've been in some of my favorite plays. I love all of these. It's just like you picked them all. You said, I'm going to eventually be on Priscilla's show, so I'm only going to be in these plays so we can talk about them. Yay! My God, that's an impressive list, and that was only like a short list compared to all of the cool plays that you've been in. My first question is, what was your aha moment? Like, when you decided you wanted to work in the entertainment industry as an actress, when was that?
I was actually 8 years old, and I was watching television, and they were auditioning for Annie around the country. And I ran into my mother, and I said, take me. And she looked right at me, and she'd known that I wanted to sing, and she'd known that I wanted to perform, but she didn't realize I meant for real. She thought, you know, community theater, maybe a little, you know, a little thing here and there. So she thought very quickly on her feet, and she said, well, I could take you. It would cost a fortune, and you don't have training yet. So if I took you, you won't get the job, because all those other little girls have training and you don't. Or I can start you training right now, and then the next time it comes around, I'll take you, and I'll take you in on as many auditions as you want after you get the training. So, of course, that was the start of it.
Wow. Now, very logical. I love the way your mother thinks. She's very logical. She thought it out. She explained it instead of saying no, like some others are like, no, that's it. End the conversation. I really like how she handled it. She obviously teaches logistics to a child in a way that you clearly understood. Now, you are you sound quite young, so I'm wondering if this was the audition that my friend Daisy Egan auditioned for, who won. She was the youngest. She was on our show a couple years ago. She was the youngest actress to win a Tony for Annie. So I'm wondering if that was the same audition, because you guys sound like you're the same age. Very interesting. I'm going to have to look that up. Do you know Daisy Egan?
I do, but I'm not actually sure which Annie it was at that time.
Yeah, that I'm going to look that up. Now, you have an extensive repertoire, obviously, of stage work in New York regional and off-Broadway theater. What plays, and I know you've had a lot of lead roles, what were some of your lead roles? What was your favorite role and why?
I would say probably Jekyll and Hyde, and not even just for the show, but for the director, because I got to work with Bob Puccioli, who, as you know, was a Tony nominee and Drama Desk winner for the role of Jekyll and Hyde on Broadway. So this was his first directing experience, and he cast me. I was stunned. I'm like,
what?
Kills me. And to work under him and through his process, he's just he's so kind and he's so brilliant and he's so actor friendly and just has such a creative mind. It's an experience that I don't think I could duplicate.
Well, what was it that you could, maybe if you could get into specifics, what was it that was different about his directing style as opposed to some other directors that you may have worked with?
He's a tendency to be a little introverted. So before blurting something out, he'll think for a moment and then present to you in an actor-friendly way, because he is a performer himself and a brilliant one at that. While many directors are more just directors, not necessarily come from such a strong actor background, so mm-hmm. they're thinking in a different way than an actor does.
Mm-hmm.
He's able to transfer the words differently.
Interesting. Yeah, some directors, they just start talking at you and they're not listening to you. So that's very nice to hear. And did you work with him again on anything, or was it just that particular play?
I have not yet had the wonderful opportunity. I've been in for him for other things that he's brought me in for, but actually, the next thing was another Jekyll and Hyde, and that's when I did King and I instead.
Now, we know you're an actress and singer, but do you dance as well?
I used to. your body doesn't necessarily stay at the top peak for dance for as long as it does for acting and singing. It wears faster.
Oh my gosh, I know. I'm a huge lover of dance. I mean, I watch I love So You Think You Can Dance. I've learned so much. Although I am still confused about, I wish I could get hold of that Nigel, because I wish they would on the screen somehow explain the difference between lyrical and contemporary dance, because they look so similar to the untrained eye that I wish that they would constantly flash when someone's doing, when they're auditioning for lyrical and then contemporary and then jazz. And you pretty much can tap. I mean,
right.
That's, tap is tap. But the other ones are so similar, and I really wish that they would explain that for the people who love dance and would love to learn the difference. Like I could, if you had a lyrical and contemporary dancer that did the same piece, I wouldn't know which one was which. So can you tell the difference? Is there something distinguishable about those two dances?
To me, my definition would be lyrical would be more closer to the ballet and the very strict pointed toes and long lines, whereas the contemporary, sometimes you have the broken, the broken flexed foot and the jagged edge that interprets the music a little differently. That would be my interpretation.
So more of like the Mia Michael style, right? Oh, I love Mia Michaels. Oh, I don't know. I'm so sad she's not on So You Think You Can Dance anymore. So sad. I don't know if you follow
that. Amazing.
Oh my gosh. I love, was it Nabby Taps or Tappy Nabs or Tabitha and Nappy? They're a really good duo. They're really good. But I love that they introduced the children's version this season. My God, these kids are
so good. I haven't seen the episodes yet.
I don't want to spoil it for you, but my God, these kids are amazing. However, one of my little, there's a girl that made it to the show named Tahani, and she was dancing with a little boy named Joey. And I was blown away by their dance together, and he got cut. And I shouldn't tell you because you haven't seen it. Well, but anyway, they are a phenomenal little team, and I was very sad to see him go. All right, I spilled it, but you'll still enjoy it.
That's okay.
Now, we often hear the term of a Broadway performer being a triple threat, meaning that you have to be a superior actor, singer, and dancer. Can you explain, in this day and age, I feel that it's just even more so competitive. But do you still have to be all three to book a job on Broadway? I mean, what are your chances of even getting an audition if you're not an excellent dancer? I mean, of course, you have to act and sing. But, you know, what are your chances if you're just an okay dancer? Or what if you don't dance at all?
Well, it depends on the show, quite honestly. There are quite a few shows where there really isn't dancing, or there isn't very much. I mean, think of Les Miserables. There's no dancing in that whatsoever.
But is it better to actually have that in your tool set, in your tool chest?
It is. I wish I still had the ability to dance the way I used to. I still have the technique, but the turns and some of the other stuff are not as strong as they used to be.
And what type of dance did you do? What, contemporary, jazz, lyrical?
I did mostly the musical theater. I was trained in the ballet, tap, and jazz. I didn't do much contemporary. I certainly didn't do hip-hop and things like that.
Yeah.
While it's a wonderful art, I think I would probably look very silly trying.
Yeah, I mean, people don't realize, well, they probably do if they're actually doing what they're supposed to and doing research before they hit Broadway, but really, they are incorporating so much more rap and hip-hop and this really weird dance style. Like, I don't even know about this. I don't know if I've accepted that yet. With the thing with the hands, what is it called? Whopping, you know, when they do whacking, that's what it is.
Oh,
whacking.
Okay. I'm like,
I'm
not
what
sure.
The hell is that? You know,
I know what you're talking about, but I don't know.
Yeah, they've had that on So You Think You Can Dance. That's the first time I ever heard it. It's like where you know, the arms go crazy and you could just pull many limbs out of joint doing that whole thing. But that's just a crazy thing. But that is being incorporated now into choreography, which is crazy. But I would imagine that if you want to make it on Broadway, you really should have at least the core styles under your belt, which, again, you'd know more than I, but I would say Broadway, jazz, tap, right?
The more you can do, the better off you are.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you, even with dance training, there are some people that just will never be able to dance. That does not mean that they won't ever work. You just have to know what shows you're going in for, what you're right for, and what you're not. And don't go into the room and say that you can do this.
I know. They'll actually say, hey, by the way, can you do this? And then what are you going to do? You're going to look like a nut, and then you're going to be blacklisted, and they're going to be talking
exactly
about you. So do it. Oh, my God. Now, currently, I understand, Dina Eddy, that you are recording original music, voice and vocal, for some of the top industry composers. I think David Spencer and Emmy Award winner Lonnie Myers. Tell us all about it. I'm so excited to hear that.
Yes, this has been a project that I started because I wanted the music that I have out to be music that I know that I am free to record, that I, you know, that I'm not taking somebody's work without their permission. So I've been blessed enough to have wonderful relationships over the years with people I've worked with and people that I even may not have worked with but have auditioned for and become friends for, and maybe the producer didn't want me for the role but the composer really loved me, and becoming close with them over the years. And I approached several of them and asked if there was music that they would be okay with my recording, and the answers that came back actually floored me. They were it was, of course, you know, does the Pope have a pointy hat? It was just amazing responses, and I was so honored. And I have four on my website right now. One of them is from Duddy Kravitz, which has only performed in Canada, and fingers crossed it comes to Broadway. There are no recordings of it out in existence at all right now, other than the one song I have on my website. It is David Spencer and Alan Menken. as well as Weird Romances, also David Spencer and Ellen Menken, and that one did perform in the 80s with Ellen Green, and that's out of print, so that can't be gotten hold of either. And then some newcomers to the table brought me one piece from a show on Mrs. Warren's Profession, and mm-hmm. then a coloratura aria by Lanny, and I've got a few more that are waiting to record. Just haven't gotten to them yet.
So you, I'm assuming, first of all, what style are we talking about? Singer, Broadway music, pop, what type of music?
Well, there are the arias, it's a coloratura aria, so it is pretty close to operatic, except it's in English. And that goes, has lots of trills and runs and goes up to a lovely high E at the end. I have a lot of fun with that one. There's one that is a very traditional Broadway. And then one of the ones that's up right now is a contemporary Broadway belt, and the other is a contemporary Broadway legit sound, which is the Betty Kravitz one. So okay. They're all a little different.
And I'm assuming you write, read, and write music yourself.
I do not. I wish I did.
Oh, wow.
I do not have that gift.
Wow. Well, I tell you, I did not know you did that, but I've got to turn you on to this wonderful songwriting team, which they're based out of New York, and they came here. Well, they have, they've written songs for performers that are being done in London and here in LA, and one is going on. She's about to start the tour for Wicked, but I got to hook you up with them. They're a wonderful little team, and they write music for Broadway singers, so I think they've done some hit Broadway shows, but I think they would love you. So remind me, and I'll turn you on to them. Her name is Selga, so you'll love her. Selda, oh Lord, oh Selda. We are understanding that you are also down to the wire on 13 Broadway contracts, leads. Can you, first of all, for people who don't know what that means, down to the wire on 13 Broadway contracts, can you explain what that means?
Well, this is, it's actually over a period of time. Some of the shows have now closed, so they didn't come to fruition. But it means that you've gone in, you've sung, you've been called back, you've been called back again, you've gotten down to final number of people, or where you're either the last couple in the room and they've told you it's going to be between and you'll hear, or it is a matter of where they say, well, if it's a running show, you're going on a list and at some point we may call you to come back in. That's like a phantom thing. That's what they do when they call you back a few times, and then they say, okay, you're on a list, and if we have an opening for a Christine, we'll go through that list, and maybe you'll get a call, and maybe you won't.
Now, how is that different? I know it's weird. As I told you prior to the show, I had an aunt who was a Broadway actress, and I used to go on those auditions. I had to. It's a whole story, but I would sit in the audience, and my God, it was a rough process. Next, stay, go, stay. I'm like, it's so scary. I got to actually experience that for myself one time, and after that, I said never again. But it was here. A friend of mine was working at the LA Opera, and they had a girl who broke her leg and she couldn't do the part. So I got a call from my friend and he said, please, Priscilla, will you at least go to the audition? I'm like, sure. Never thinking in a million years that I'd be cast for DeRozan Cavalier. Well, I go, there's like 100 people. So I'm just standing in the line and I'm thinking, I can't wait to get to McDonald's. And I'm thinking, should I get the nuggets or the Big Mac, right? Because, you know, I'm a little chubby. So I'm thinking of food like constantly. And all of a sudden, they're like saying numbers and you stay. And I'm down. It's like from 100 down to 50. And then it's down to this. And I'm thinking, oh, God, when is this going to end? Next thing you know, I get the part. I had no idea what happened. I'm like, what the hell happened? But it was for a supernumerary, which for people who don't know what that means, in opera, if you're cast as a supernumerary, that's kind of like a featured extra if you're doing television and film. So I was cast as the widow in De Rose and Cavalier. I don't know how the hell it happened. All I did was stand there, but that's the way it was. But it was just, it was so tense, you know, for a while, because the more that I was standing there, I guess people would be excited if they wanted to be cast. But as they're cutting and cutting and cutting, I'm like, damn. But because it's a really grueling process to do opera. Oh my gosh. And I wasn't even singing, but the whole theatrical process is crazy. I used to do community theater, and I tell you, the rehearsals are so long. It takes so long. It's so different from film and television, which is what I'd love to talk about right now, because I do understand that you are making the transition of a theatrical actress into film and television. I'm assuming you have had some roles in film and television. So why don't you tell us some of the differences that you've had to make as far as transition goes?
Okay, the biggest difference to me is bringing it down. And even my personality is actually bigger than it can be for television and film. You need to, as my teacher says, you need to pretend like that person is 6 inches from your face, and that's the conversation you're having, rather than when you're on stage and you are performing. It's still honest, but it's to this huge group, you know, of people, of thousands of people, or hundreds, or whatever the size of the theater is. And it's a very different, way of holding the emotion and keeping the reality. And it's tough to transition back and forth. It's a big difference.
One of the biggest, because as you're taught in theater, what is the word that they constantly use? Project, project, project. And you have to make sure that the person at the very back up in the balcony can hear you. Of course, now they have microphones, so it's not too bad. But prior to microphones, you had to practically scream your lines. And a lot of actors, Broadway actors or theatrical actors, had a hard time making the transition to film, because you almost have to do what I call the Kiefer Sutherland whisper. I don't know if you ever watched 24, but he whispered his whole dialogue for like 8 years. All he did was whisper. I'm like, why the hell is he whispering? But, you know, it was a whisper, and I find a lot of actors are whispering. I'm like, why are they whispering? I don't even know. I got to get somebody on the show that can explain why people are whispering now their dialogue in film. But what are some of the other transitions, other than the vocal transition, what else do you find is a little bit different from being a theatrical actress?
Well, it's even the emotional, because you need to keep that emotion. You still need to keep it honest, but you need to keep it more internal rather than on stage. Your emotion becomes a lot more external in order for it to project. You've got to keep it more inside you so they can see it through the eyes instead of through the sounds you make, or through your body movements, because your movements need to be slower, smoother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if you do a quick movement on TV and film, it kind of looks odd.
Yes, because in theater, for those of you who haven't made it there yet, they have well, you have blocking, and that's like your movement from one place to another. But in theater, when someone is blocking a scene, they make sure that they cover the stage. They can't have everybody in one little single area because it just doesn't look right. But in film, the goal is to keep everyone in a little single area because you got to be really close. Have you ever noticed when you're watching television and film and you go, that is, and you notice, my God, they're like 3 inches away from each other while they're doing a scene. Well, you know, in real life, you don't stand that close to someone 2, 3, 6 inches away. That's all up in their grill. That's up in their personal space. You know, you're spitting on each other. You know, it's just, and that's what you have to do. That's one of the grossnesses, of doing film and television. You've got to be so close that when you're talking, you're going to feel spit. It goes in your eye, up your nose, in your mouth. I mean, it is not as glamorous as it looks on television and film. So that's a little, you know, a little bit different than doing theater where you can be a little further back and you have the blocking that really takes up a lot of the space and tells the story.
Right. Right. It is all about your eyes on television and film. All that intensity has to come through your eyes. Whereas on stage, I mean, who's going to see your eyes past the first second?
Right. Now? Right. It's relying heavily on the blocking and the body movements and the body gesture. So if you like to be spit on, basically, choose film and television. If you want to be free to move, go for theater. That's my advice to you. Now, you are training at Kimball Studios and on camera first of all, before we even get to that, why did you decide to make the transition into film and television? Was that something that was a long-term goal, or was that something that was recent? Why do that when you're not being spit on, Dina? Why?
Well, the ultimate goal really is just to work as much as possible in any medium. I love what I do. I'm not giving up theater by any means, but with the dance not as strong as it used to be, there are fewer shows that I go in for because I can't be the understudy to the lead if it's a heavy dance show anymore.
Right.
So I do want to work. I still want to work as much as possible. I'm still continuing theater. I won't ever stop. That's my first and foremost and always will be true love. But I want to work, and all I want to do is work. It doesn't matter to me in what medium. So I want to learn as much as I can about every medium so that I can be the best performer and give the most honest, best performance for those that are watching, because that's what it's all about. It's about them.
Absolutely. Now, when you... So the transition into film and television, what... in New York, we're going to talk New York or East Coast here because that's where you're based out of. What is going on? Now, I know that there's become a huge... in Atlanta, Georgia, that is like the new hub. Everybody's going to Georgia. That's where production studios are just flying up left and right. There's so many shows being booked out of Georgia and shot in Georgia. Other than Law and Order Special Victims Unit, what are some other shows that are actually being shot in New York that you would go out on an audition for?
Well, we have Blue Bloods and Person of Interest, and we had White Collar. We have, I'm drawing a blank. We have about 35 shows that are filming here right now.
Really? Well, I know Person of Interest just ended. Was not happy with that finale, by the way. I'm just putting it out there. I know, what would you say, White Collar?
Just ended.
Right,
but they're bringing in. They've been bringing in new ones as well. There's a few that should hopefully hit this pilot season, and every pilot season they bring in new ones. But I think my agent said the total was somewhere between 35 and 40 that are filming right now, because you also have the Netflix and the Hulu shows and the Amazon shows, as well as your prime time and your cable. So there's a bigger range of programs now than there were, say, even 5-10 years ago.
I'm glad you brought that up. That is so great, because with the introduction of Netflix and Hulu, et cetera, et cetera, it's opening up a whole new world for actors, because before, people who wanted to pursue a career in film and television, they would come to L.A. They wouldn't go to New York, because New York was labeled as the theater town, right? Primarily, yeah. Theater. But now all of these wonderful shows are being cast, and you can live in New York or LA or Atlanta. You can pretty much live, I think, just about in any major city and be able to shoot something. Am I correct?
You are at this point, yes.
Yeah, even Canada. You can be in Canada, come across
Canada
the border.
Has all of the CW shows.
Yes, that's where they shoot all the CW shows, practically, except for Vampire Diaries, which I think is shot in Georgia in the originals. But yeah, so many shows are shooting in Canada, which is a beautiful place. Now, we're talking about training. I'm assuming that back when your mother told you, let's get you into some classes, you were taking classes related to theatrical training. With you wanting to make the transition into film and television, what kind of training are you doing now?
I'm now at Kimball Studios, which is one of the highest recommended by casting directors for professional actors for on-camera training in New York. They're the best of the best, and I've been there for a few years because I want to be sure that as I make this transition that I'm ready and that I will do the best performance. I don't want to step into an audition onto a set and not be the best and then have that be the reputation that stays with me.
Exactly. Exactly. And I'm telling you, people, theatrical auditions and working in theater is so different than being involved in film and television. There is an on-set etiquette. That's why I stress to everyone all the time on the show, you have to know business etiquette. It's called show business. So please learn the business. There is a whole on-set etiquette. There are things that you do on set and that you don't do on set. And you don't even realize that if you do it, there's somebody watching you, and you either are going to get sent home that day, right at that minute, or you're basically not going to work anymore. And you may not even know the reason why. You will wonder, why am I not being called? Why is my agent not calling me? Why? Well, your agent got information that you were doing something on the set that you shouldn't have been doing. And you need to know what that is. That can include, and I tell you right now, please, when you go to an audition, do not participate in gossip. There is a tendency for actors, when they go to auditions, they want to talk about how bad the last director was, or what a bitch the main actress was, or they want to talk gossip, gossip, gossip. Do not participate. Get your script, go off, and do your thing alone. If they want to continue talking about people and actors and producers and all of that, you shouldn't even listen. You excuse yourself, you go to the bathroom. Do not participate, because there are casting associates that are there, and their job is to listen to what goes on out in that room. I'm telling you right now, I have a ton of casting director friends, and I hear all the stories. I hear everything. So please, that's like my tip for you today. So please do not do that. But there is a certain thing that you do on set, even regarding cell phones and the texting, and you just don't do it.
You don't take pictures on set.
No, and you don't ask the people who are the stars of the show to take pictures with you. Please, you should know that. But you'd be surprised, Dina, how many people don't know that. What other tips can you share about the professionalism that's involved with set etiquette?
Well, there's a lot of professionals in the general. I agree with you 100%. First of all, you should never badmouth anybody anyway. Nobody wants to work with someone that's mean.
Nobody wants to work with a mean girl. Don't be the mean girl.
Yeah, nobody wants that. And how much can you like yourself if you're mean? I mean...
Terrible. But you know what? They do it, Dina. Dina, you don't
I know. See it.
Crazy. They do it. And they and the thing is that I see these people continually doing it, and I see them at different auditions, you know, and I'm thinking, what? Do they not realize that they may go to the audition, but they're not being cast and they have no idea why? But that's another story. What else? What other tips do you have for them?
Preparation. Be prepared. Know your material before you walk in that door. If by any chance, if it's an audition and there might be a callback coming up soon and you have access to the callback material, learn it anyway. Because if it's a quick turnaround, you might not have the time later to prepare it. And if you prepared it and don't use it, it's not that big of a deal. It was you had more learning time. Be on time. Be early, actually. Be 10 to 15 minutes early, always. Dress professionally. If you're supposed to show up on set with clean face, clean hair, do so. If you're supposed to show up on set at 6:45, be there by 6:30 at the latest. Make sure that you are courteous to every single person you meet. When somebody tells you to do something, you do it. Mm-hmm. You don't go to the bathroom, even going to the bathroom, you wait to be told that it's okay. Unless it's an emergency, then you kindly ask, is there a moment when I can? But I'll just...
Pretty much it should be common sense. Right! That's exactly what I was thinking. It's just common sense. But you would be amazed, Dina, at how many people that don't have common sense. It fascinates me. I never cease to be amazed by it. Never. It just blows me away. But if you don't know if you have common sense, look it up. Google it. Just Google it. Just learn it. Everything you need to know is on Google. There's no excuse not to know anything in the world ever. Google it. Now, what are some exciting projects that you have coming up? I know you got a lot of things going on. What's happening?
Well, I have more music that I'm working on, so those will be coming out. I actually have to say I'm taking a little vacation first.
Exciting.
We're going on a little cruise to Bermuda. My husband and I haven't had a vacation of our own in about 6 or 7 years. So,
now, is the husband involved in entertainment too?
He is not. He's actually a mechanical engineer who had never seen a show before he met me. Now he can listen to music, look at a monologue, look at a scene and say, yes, that fits you, no, it doesn't. Amazing.
It's great to help you run lines. Perfect.
And he does run lines with me for class and for auditions. I just have to make sure that I highlight what he's to say so that he doesn't read the stage directions.
Uh-huh. Oh, and secretly, I think he gets a little thrill out of it. He kind of gets to be a little performer himself. Now, Dina, I did not know this, but prior to us going live, I had asked you how to pronounce your last name. And you said Eddie, and I said, oh, like Nelson Eddy and Jeanette McDonald. And you informed me that you are actually related to the great Nelson Eddy. Is that true?
That is true. He was my mother's father's, you know, my grandfather on my mother's side, cousin.
Isn't that?
Unfortunately, passed before I was born, or I would have loved to have learned from him. I do hope I'm doing him proud.
Wow. Well, you've got the blood running through your veins. You've got the cell memories, the genetics. My God. I would think you could belt out. Now I'm going to have to listen to your music like extensively. Now I got to hear Nelson Eddy. For those of you who don't know, millennials, I'm talking to you. Nelson Eddy and Jeanette McDonald were a wonderful singing team back in the day. Correct me if I'm wrong, 20s, 30s, 40s, I believe.
Yep, that's about right. Yeah.
And I was just watching, because I am obsessed with Jean Harlow. Like, I loved this woman. And I was watching a documentary called Bombshell that was narrated by Sharon Stone. And at the end, they said at Jean Harlow's funeral, they played the song by Nelson Eddy and Jeanette McDonald. I can't remember what it was, but it was probably one of their favorites. Famous ones. I don't think it was When I'm Calling You. I don't think that would have been appropriate, but it was one of their other hits. And I just thought that was so lovely, because to hear them sing, oh my gosh. And they just reigned supreme in the movies in the 30s, right? They were on everything.
What and wonderful chemistry and voices and just stunning.
They were not married. They weren't married, or were they married? Nelson?
No, they never got married.
They were just a team, just the singing team, professional.
They were a performing team. There's a book out that says that they had a romance. I don't know the full extent of it, because they were very closed mouth about
things,
and my family didn't have a whole lot to tell me about him, just that, you know, they were related, and great-grandmother used to sit and have tea with his mother and things like that. That's about all I know.
Isn't that lovely? Oh, my gosh. Well, it's a true honor to be talking to you, a relative of Nelson Eddy. I just love them. I mean, I used to listen to – my grandmother used to play all the old 78s and the records, and I just love listening to the two of them. Just phenomenal. So anyone who doesn't know Nelson Eddy and Jeanette McDonald, please listen to their music. You're going to absolutely love it. Now, we are going to be closing, but I wanted to ask you something. Obviously, if you want to get audition notices for film, television, commercial, music video, one of the most convenient ways is to sign up for websites such as Actors Access, LA Casting, a couple others. I have not heard of a website being available for people who are pursuing a career as an actor in theater. To the best of your knowledge, does a website exist that provides casting notices for theater actors? If so, what are they? If not, what are some of the best ways for people to get started as actors in theater? I mean, do you have to still do the old-fashioned, have an agent, blah, blah, blah?
No, it's actually a little easier on theater than it is on camera side to get auditions. For non-union, they can get hold of auditions through Backstage or Playbill, both online. And my union calls, what I don't get through my agent, I still do the union calls through Actors Equity.
So do they have both. Do they have a website for? I know Actors Equity. Do they have a website that has casting notices? Audition notices, right?
Mm-hmm. On Actors Equity, we have a casting call section. It's now under the members section, so you do have to be union to access that portion of it. But most of those auditions you can still find on Backstage or Playbill.
Now, to become a member of SAG-AFTRA, usually you have to be in, and again, people don't quote me, look it up, but as far as I know, you had to be in three projects, which were union projects, and you had to have like a featured role, et cetera, et cetera. What is the process to become a member of AEA, Actors Equity Association?
There's several different ones. There's an EMC, which is Equity Membership Candidate Program, that many theaters participate in, and you work a certain number of weeks under an EMC contract, and you can earn your card that way. Or you can, there's some theaters where they need to fill that equity contract and they fall in love with you and you're giving your equity contract. I was actually given mine for the Fantastics.
Ah.
Those are the main two ways.
So there you
or
go.
Or you can backdoor it. If you're SAG-AFTRA and you have enough substantial credits under SAG-AFTRA, and you can provide that paperwork and contracts over to Equity. And I'm not sure what the actual criteria is, because I joined Equity First, but there is a certain number of contracts and paperwork then you can go over to Equity and gain your card that way.
Well, there you go. What better advice than to get from an actress that's actually working it out in New York, up there doing everything. Well, I am so excited to hear that you're making the transition into film and television. Please, my goodness, you have to keep us abreast of all of your new and exciting activities. I think that you're going to really swing it and wing it, and you're going to do it. And I'm going to be seeing you, hopefully, Dan Lasky, who is your PR guy. By the way, we have to give some credit to Dan Lasky at Lasky Digital. He's the one that booked you on the show. And hopefully he'll be calling me, telling me that you booked a hot show. So there you go. Yeah.
Well, wonderful.
Oh, Dan Lasky is the best. He's such a sweetheart. So please check out Dena Eddy. Go to her website, D-E-E-N-A Eddy, E-D-D-Y.com, and follow her on Twitter. Follow her on Facebook. Follow her in general. She's a beautiful woman. If you don't want to follow her, you can just pull her up and look at her. You can look at her for hours. She's just so beautiful. You could just look at her and go, oh, I don't even want to tell you what you're going to be doing if you're a male. Don't even get those thoughts in your head. Sickos, sickos. I wasn't even going there. All right. Well, thank you so much, Dena. Say goodbye to your fans.
Thank you. And thank you so much for having me. This is lovely.
Oh, thank you, Dena Eddy. And we will see you in the movies. Bye, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week on Question Reality. Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.